We just finished our series in the book of Acts, and throughout Acts, we've been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and for this new series on Proverbs, we are going to be doing things a little different. We are going to cover it in topics, and today's topic is the fear of the Lord, but we are going to start with Proverbs chapter 1, and we will read verses 1 to 7. The Word of God says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, and knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let's go to the Lord together one more time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for all of the different ways that you speak to us in your word. You speak to us through stories. You speak to us through songs. You speak to us through letters to churches. And you also speak to us through these wisdom sayings in the Proverbs. And we pray that you open our eyes and our ears to hear what you have to say to us today, Father. By the power of your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I grew up around my mother and my grandmother and other family members speaking Spanish to me. Although they would speak Spanish to me, I would understand, but I would respond to them in English, like a good first-generation Cuban-American Miami child. But there were certain things that my mom would say to me that I just would not understand. And when I questioned her about them, she would say, "Ah, eso es un dicho cubano." That is a Cuban saying. And it would sound to me like a riddle that made no sense, and then she would explain it to me. These Cuban sayings were brief statements that are meant to communicate profound words of wisdom. And today we are going to begin a new series on God's book of short wisdom sayings in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs are meant to express insights into life that are generally accepted as true statements. They are not laws that are always true. There are exceptions to these sayings. For example, in Proverbs 12:11, it says, "Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread." Now, generally speaking, yes, that is true. If you work hard, if you do what you're supposed to do, you will not lack anything. However, if we know the Bible, we've seen even the Apostle Paul has said, "I know what it is to have plenty, and I know what it is to be in need." And I don't think anyone here would call the Apostle Paul, you know, a lazy man, but it was in God's providence that he had lack. We also live in a fallen world, and sometimes things don't go as planned. However, the Proverbs tell us what we can generally expect in life when we do certain things, and results that normally come through our actions. And they are to be applied in the right circumstances to the right people. For example, Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. We have two proverbs back to back, which on the surface may seem to contradict themselves. However, they are not a contradiction. Listen to them. It says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself." But then in verse 5, it says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." Now, this is not a contradiction, but the Proverbs are telling you that in the right situation, you should not answer a fool. But in another situation, you should answer a fool, but you have to have the discernment and the wisdom to understand when to apply each verse. Now, let's take a brief look at who wrote the Proverbs. Who wrote the Proverbs? Well, there are many, not many, but there are multiple authors to the Proverbs. But here in verse 1 of our beginning text, we see that Solomon is at least the primary author of the Proverbs. Look at verse 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." And then we also see in chapter 10, verse 1, again, Solomon, his name coming up as being the author of Proverbs. And then 25, verse 1, also tells us the same. But then we have other verses like chapter 22 and in chapter 24 where it says these are the sayings of the wise. And it doesn't tell us exactly who wrote those. In chapter 30, we see that some were written by someone named Agur, the son of Jacob. And I don't know who that is, but he wrote chapter 30 of Proverbs. And chapter 31 is attributed to a king named Lemuel. And again, we don't know anything about Lemuel. Some associate him to be Solomon, and that's just another name for Solomon. Now, while there are many or multiple authors to the Proverbs, humanly speaking, there is one divine author, and that is God. That is the Holy Spirit, for the Proverbs are the Word of God. They are God-breathed, inspired by Him. So now that we know that the Proverbs is written by the Lord, let's see the purpose of the book in verses 2 to 6. Let's read that together. It says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight." This is why the book is written. "To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. And the one who understands obtain guidance." To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So, first of all, look at verse 2. One of the purposes of this book is that we would know wisdom and instruction. God wants you to have this wisdom. He wants you to know it. He wants you to get acquainted with wisdom. And what is wisdom? It is, as some have said, the skill of living. It is a practical knowledge that helps us in our decision making. It teaches us how to handle situations. It tells us when to speak, the right words to use, how to say things so that they come across the way that they should come across. That is wisdom. It helps us solve problems in our everyday life. So Solomon and the Holy Spirit, they want us to know these things so that we can glorify God in the way that we live our everyday life. And look at verse 3. Here we see it's to receive instruction in wise dealings, in righteousness, justice, and equity. So Proverbs wants you to receive something. It wants you to take something from the book. Imagine your grandmother is cooking a home-cooked meal, and she's saying, "Come, it's ready. Here it is. Take it. Receive it. Come and get it." That's Proverbs. It calls to us to take the wisdom that it has. Verse 4 says that Proverbs wants to give prudence to the simple, to give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. So God is giving us something in this book. God is giving us the gift of wisdom here. And whether you have been a Christian for 30 years or you have been a Christian for 30 days, the book of Proverbs speaks to you. Look at verse 4. It says to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Now, what does that mean to the simple? It doesn't mean you're stupid. Think of it like this. It wants to give wisdom to the immature in faith, to those who do not know much about the Bible, to those who are still, they still have a lot to grow in their Christian life. Proverbs speaks to you. It also speaks to the youth, those who are very young, physically speaking, who grow up here in the church. It speaks to us, to the youth as well, so that they may live a life worthy of the calling with which they have been called. Now, I want to encourage you, because if you are someone that is new to the faith and you are struggling to find a Bible reading routine, if reading the Bible every day is not something that is a part of your life, I will encourage you, take at least 1, 2, 3, 4 of these proverbs every day and read them. They will give you instruction in your life. They will show you how to be a Christian in this world. They are practical. Many of them are easy to understand, and they are powerful words of God. And once you have that down, I would encourage you to add a psalm to your daily routine. But get the word into your daily life. It is transformative. It will change your life. Now, look at verse 5. It says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." So, look, it even speaks, if you are already a seasoned believer, if you're already been a Christian for a while, you are mature in faith, you do read the Bible every day, Proverbs speaks to you as well. If you have wisdom, it says, increase in learning, increase in becoming wise. I love what Matthew Henry wrote. He wrote that here is not only milk for babes, but strong meat for strong men. You will never outgrow your need for the book of Proverbs. Even mature saints come to the book and they find guidance and correction for their walk with Christ and others. Even pastors like myself and Pastor Larry and Robbie, they come to Proverbs, and I'll speak for myself instead of my brothers here, but I'm like, wow, yeah, you know, that speaks to me. I don't want to be like the fool. I want to be like the wise man in the book. Now, before we go any further, it is important that we make clear where this journey of wisdom starts. And Solomon tells us, he's told us who wrote the book, he's told us the purpose of the book, and now in verse 7, he wants to show you where this journey of wisdom starts. And he says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here it is. There is a prerequisite for gaining biblical wisdom. And that is, you must fear the Lord. You must fear the Lord. It's repeated in Proverbs 9:10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So if this is such an important phrase, and this is where it all starts, then it is appropriate that we start our series this way, and it's important that before we go any further, we explain something of what it means to fear the Lord. So let's unpack that. Okay, first of all, notice that it doesn't say just fear a God, or just a God with a lowercase g. It says to fear the Lord in all caps. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And you will see God referred to as Lord all over the book of Proverbs. And this, underneath these all caps Lord words, you'll see is the Hebrew covenant name for God, Yahweh or Jehovah. And it was the name that God revealed to Moses in the book of Exodus. So we are talking about not just any God. It's not just, you know, I'll find religion and I'll fix my life. No, Proverbs calls you to fear the God of the Bible, the God of the Old and the New Testaments. He is the Holy One. to be feared. So let's see, what does it mean to fear the true God, the living God, the God of the Bible? First, I would say fearing the Lord means to have a reverence and a respect for who God is. We opened the service today with Revelation 4:8, which tells us that God is holy, holy, holy. He is a God that is unlike no other. No one can stand next to him. There is no one like this God. He is the God who created the universe out of nothing. And more than that, he holds the universe together by the power of his word. We are to respect and we are to acknowledge this God. We are to call him Lord. We need to worship him for who he is. And not only that, but we need to see ourselves for who we are. We need to know that he is God and we are not. He is the immortal, invisible, all-wise, eternal God, and we are made of dust. It is to acknowledge that. It means to perceive him as the one that is worthy to be worshiped and to worship him. It means to perceive him as the one who is worthy to be served and to serve him. And it means that you submit to him and come to him on his terms, in the way that he has told you that you must come to him. And how is that? He tells us that it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. You cannot say you fear God yet refuse to come to him according to how he said, come to him. In order for you to have the knowledge that the Proverbs has to offer, you must know the Father through the Son. And you must know that he came into the world to save sinners. And you must receive him by faith. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and all of the treasures for us in Proverbs must be received first by coming to God, fearing him, and receiving Christ through faith. You must be a Christian and have a healthy relationship with God to begin this journey of wisdom. And it says, the fool, on the other hand, in verse 7, despises wisdom and instruction. They don't want it. They don't want it. But if you do want it, you must first fear the Lord. What else? What else is included in fearing the Lord? Well, this is where we're going to start jumping around the book of Proverbs, because the Proverbs has a lot to tell us about what it means to fear the Lord. So first, I would point out chapter 8, verse 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. So if you fear God, then you are aligning your thoughts with his thoughts and your attitudes with his attitudes and your life with the way he wants you to live life. You hate what is evil and you love what is good. And you need to have that in order to learn the wisdom of the Proverbs, because the wisdom in the Proverbs is not just wisdom in the sense that, you know, I just want to learn how to get rich, or I want to learn how I could start a successful business. No, it is a righteous wisdom. It is a moral wisdom. It is a wisdom that is in step with the character of God. And if you want, turn to Proverbs chapter 8 and look at verse 6. Look at what is said right before verse 13. Here Solomon wrote, "Hear, for I will speak noble things," in verse 6, "and from my lips will come what is right." So if you're someone who highlights or underlines in their Bible, you can underline that he will speak noble things, and he will speak what is right. And then he says in verse 7, "For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." So fearing God, again, it means that you love his commandments. You love truth and uprightness, and God's wisdom is in line with that righteous standard. Next, I want to point out Proverbs 14:2. And if you have an outline and you want to later on when you go home today, you can look up all of these verses. But if I'm going too quickly for you and you don't have time to find them all, it's fine. Just listen and it might be easier for you. But Proverbs 14:2 says, "Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him." So we either fear the Lord or we despise him. And the way that we choose to live our lives reveals our heart. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord. But if that does not describe you, if you are a devious person, if you are someone who walks in wickedness, if that describes your life, it shows that you actually despise the Lord. Proverbs has some good verses that serve as a spiritual thermometer of sorts for us. It tells us the state of our heart. Look at another one in Proverbs 3:7. It says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Turn away from evil. But I also point out from there that when you fear the Lord, you rely on God's righteous wisdom and not your own. In fearing the Lord, you submit to what God says is right and good for you. You have a high view of God. You trust him in that. You trust God's wisdom when you fear the Lord. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Proverbs 16:6 says, "By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil." So the fear of the Lord is recognizing who he is and who you are, and in that just awe of God, that realization of his holiness, of his sovereignty, of everything that God is, that should help you to turn away from evil when you are tempted. Do you see God as the great and holy sovereign God that he is? If that is the case, turn away from evil. It is your respect and your love for God that will help you to turn away from sin. It is your respect for him that will say, you know what? The Lord is able to discipline me. I should not continue to walk in whatever sin I am walking in, because God is real and God is powerful and God loves me. He's going to discipline me if I continue to do this. That is a healthy fear of God. You don't fear God like you fear a monster, but maybe as your children, you fear your parents. You know, I don't want to do anything to make my mom and dad disappointed with me. I want them to discipline me. I don't want to get in trouble. There is a healthy fear of the Lord that we must have. Look at Proverbs 15:33. It says that the fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. So we see that fearing God involves walking in humility before Him. When you have a high view of God, it gives you a lower view of yourself, a more appropriate view of yourself. And if you fear the Lord, you are walking in humility in light of that reality. And notice something else before we move on from this verse. It says, because we've been saying that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But here, this proverb takes it a step further. And it's not only the beginning, though it is, but it is also the rest of the path of wisdom. It says that the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. So you start with the fear of God to start gaining wisdom, but you continue to fear God throughout your whole life, and that is how wisdom comes. And in fearing the Lord, there is wisdom in itself. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. Now, we've unpacked some of what it means to fear the Lord. Now we are going to see what the Proverbs teach us about the many blessings that come from fearing the Lord. And this is something that you're going to see in the Proverbs a lot. There are blessings attached to our actions, or there are results from our actions. So what blessings and results should we expect when we fear the Lord? Well, Proverbs 10:27. We'll start there. That talks about a long life. A long life. Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short." So again, this is a general principle, and it does have exceptions. But generally, this is true. If you fear the Lord, you can expect to live a long life as opposed to a wicked person. When you fear of the Lord, you turn away from many sins that are very dangerous for your life. You can get into a lot of trouble with a lot of bad people and even fall into your own pitfalls when you make it your business to be a liar or a thief or a murderer or someone who is sexually immoral, or when you are overindulging in something, or when you are abusing drugs and alcohol. If you are abstaining from those things, you can expect to be blessed with a long life. The wicked who live that way will have short years. Now, there are some wicked that the Lord reserves for the final day to bring them to their knees in humility. But again, generally speaking, this is true. If you walk in the fear of the Lord, you have the blessing of a prolonged life because you avoid the things that lead to a short life. Next, fearing the Lord gives you a strong faith. It gives you a strong faith. Look at Proverbs 14:26. It says, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." So you have a strong confidence. What does that mean? A strong confidence before God, a strong confidence before man. Psalm 112:7-8 says, "He shall not," speaking of the one who fears the Lord, "he shall not be afraid of bad news. And his heart is firm, trusting the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks on triumph upon his enemies." So we have a confidence because we know God. We know who he is. We have a relationship with him. The God of the universe, we say, is holy, 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 creator, savior, all of these things. We don't just know about him. We know him. We know him, and that causes our hearts to fear. But it doesn't give us a fear, like I said, of a monster, like I want to run away. It's a fear that makes me want to grow closer to him It gives me a confidence, an unshakable confidence in him. And that confidence that the man who fears the Lord has is passed down to his children, this verse says. Because when you have confidence yourself, your children are looking to you and they say, wow, mom and dad, they fear the Lord. They are strong. They're not scared of bad news. You know what? That's for me too. I want to be like that. Because God is a God unto us and also to our children. Next, a blessing we can expect is a life of satisfaction and joy. Look at Proverbs 14:27, the very next verse. It says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." Reminds me of Psalm 23. My cup overflows. Overflows with what? With blessings. When you're someone who fears the Lord, you see blessings everywhere, don't you? You know what Christ has done for you. You know that he has given you his spirit. You see the Lord and his faithfulness and his hand upon your life. You see him working in you, growing. You see the maturity that is happening. You're flourishing. You see it in your family, God working. You have a future in the Lord, an unshakable hope that is stored up for us in heaven. Peter says, we see the snares and the traps of sin, and we turn away from those things because we have something much better. We have the Lord himself, and that in that we are satisfied. Similarly, Proverbs 28:14, we have happiness. We have happiness when we fear the Lord. It says, "Blessed is the one who fears the Lord, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity." There is a happiness that Christians have that others do not have. And I was reminded of this in the prayer meeting this morning, because all of us in the prayer meeting, we're all getting older. We all have something wrong with us. We all have our own challenges, whether financial or physically or emotionally or somehow. But I heard one of the saints today just say, "Oh, what a blessing it is to be part of your kingdom." And that's what it is, to be blessed. You just have this overall blanket like of happiness over you because you are blessed of God. On the other hand, he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity, will fall into disaster. The next blessing is a love for God above the riches of this world. Proverbs 15:16 says, "Better is a little," better to have a little bit with the fear of the Lord, "than great treasure and trouble with it." The fear of the Lord helps you get through those times when physically you don't have a whole lot. But when you love God, you would rather have him, and having a little bit with him is better than having a lot without him. What good is it to gain the whole world and to lose your soul? Jesus Christ asked. What good is it to have all of the material things in the world but with anxiety? What good is it to have all of those things with no time for your family, no time for the Lord? Better is a little bit with the fear of the Lord than to have a lot with all of these troubles and problems. Next, we have protection from God. Protection from God, Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm." Now, over and over in the scriptures, God tells us this very thing, that God is our refuge and our strength. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. It says in Psalm 91 that he sends his angels concerning us so that we will not hit our foot against a stone. the Lord protects his people. And over again in the book of Acts, as we have seen plenty of times with Paul, we saw him delivered many times, but we also saw him experiencing hardship, yet he ultimately was not harmed. He knew that it was in the very plan of God for him. And ultimately, as Pastor Larry explained, he did not suffer harm because he reached safely to his destination, which was not just Rome, but it was his heavenly home. And he was safely brought there because he was guarded by God through faith, as Peter would say. We are protected by the Lord. And next, riches, honor, and life. Riches, honor, and life. Look at Proverbs 22:4. It says, "The reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. In the Lord, we lack nothing." There is a proverb that says, "I have never seen," now it could be in Proverbs or Psalms, I can't remember now. It says, "I've never seen the righteous go hungry." The Lord provides us with everything we need. And many times, he blesses us with more than we need. Many times, we have abundance. But sometimes, at least in the eyes of the world, we don't have much physically, but the Lord makes it feel like we have a lot. I'm not a millionaire, but I feel like a millionaire when I wake up on Father's Day and my family is, as the young people say, glazing me and say how much of a good father I am, and it melts my heart, and I feel like I am very rich. I feel very honored, and I feel very blessed, and like I'm really living life. And other than that, we also have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We have eternal life, a life that will never end, which is knowing the Lord, knowing the Father, knowing the Son, knowing the Holy Spirit now and forever in eternity. We have an inheritance that is unperishable, that does not fade. It is kept and reserved in heaven for us, the new heavens and the new earth, with the Lord. And if we had enough time, we could go on and on and on about the blessings that come from fearing the Lord. And remembering these things is very helpful to us. It encourages us to continue fearing the Lord, because there's often times where we can lose focus in our Christian life, or we can get off track. We can get derailed by temptations to sin and sin itself, and we can start making compromises, and we feel lost again. So it's good to be reminded of the blessings that come from fearing the Lord. But also, Proverbs doesn't only give us blessings, it gives us exhortations. It gives us exhortations to continue in the fear of the Lord, to persevere in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 23:17 says, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Now, there are times where we look and we see the wicked prosper, and we wonder why. And we could be tempted by our own flesh and by others to say, maybe it's not that wise after all to fear the Lord. After all, what am I getting from it? Or, you know, you have people say you won't get very far in life if you don't do X, Y, Z. You don't lie on your resume. You don't lie about how much income you make to get this or that. You won't make it. You won't have as much money. You won't be happy. You're actually making yourself less happy by not giving yourself X, Y, Z sin. But Proverbs exhorts us, continue in the fear of the Lord all the day, not just sometimes, all the day, because it says there is a future hope that we have that will not be taken away from you. Continue. You will get there. March on towards Zion in the fear of the Lord. You are blessed. And one more scripture, Proverbs 24, verses 21 to 22, says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise. For disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows what ruin that will come from them both." There's a lot of wisdom here, because many times we make the mistake of joining ourselves too closely to those who do not fear the Lord, whether that be in close friendships or in romantic relationships. But Proverbs warns us that could be a recipe for spiritual disaster or even physical disaster in your life. We compromise when we are unequally yoked, as Paul would say. We change. Our commitments are not the same as before. We're not able to recommit in the way that we once wanted to because of what we did. And Proverbs calls us to continue on the path of fearing God and not letting anything or anyone mess that up. And this is where I want to close. Proverbs invites us to wisdom. And that wisdom, it starts with the fear of the Lord. It continues with the fear of the Lord. And Christians must remember that we are blessed when we fear the Lord. We must remember that. And we must not get off track. But if we have gotten off track, remember that we have an advocate with the Father. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them, when we repent of them, when we bring them to him. But do that. Don't stay in your sins. Do that and continue in the fear of the Lord. And maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're not someone who fears the Lord. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard of the Lord. If that is you, then I encourage you to know him, to fear him, to receive the gift of eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. This book has a lot to say to you, but it will exclude you if you align yourself with another character in this book that we haven't looked at yet in depth, and that is the fool. Because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But the wise man, he builds his house on the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Proverbs. We thank you for the wisdom, the truth, the righteousness that is taught in it. Help us to fear you all our days and all the day, and to not deviate from that, but to continue in it. And may we experience all of these blessings and spare ourselves from the many sorrows that accompany the wicked. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.